Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? James Coe here on the NFL Fantasy Live podcast, back after a one-episode hiatus. I was suspended one episode. Wasn't sure why. I think I was. I may have missed the team, but maybe I came in overweight.
Coach's decision. We wanted to motivate you.
That's fine.
You know, realize you can't take any off days here as we approach the season.
That's fine.
You know, you've been on this. You're a veteran now. This is your second year in the podcast. You know, you can't treat the other guys like that.
It's true.
I agree.
You know, you combine that with the weight issues that I've had. I get it.
You're basically Josh Gordon.
I'm Carlos Williams.
That's even worse.
Is really what it comes down to here. No, you're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. Back after a one-episode hiatus, I was over in Las Vegas for the Asian American Journalist Association National Conference. It was great. Had a good time there. But we've got a big show in front of us here today. We're going to talk about the preseason week one takeaways we have had. Lamar Miller, Carlos Hyde, Derrick Henry, DeMarco Murray, Christian Michael. We're going to be talking about Terrence West possibly as well. How about the NFC North, the Bears, the Lions, the Packers? We're going to be breaking down the NFC North. We're going to give you an update, a massive update now on the fan league. We're going to have
seven total people are getting in?
No, you know what? I went four.
Whoa.
Yeah, woo! Because I missed that episode. And also I was like, oh my gosh, I have 16 spots.
Well, two are you and Adam, so
right.
14.
Yes, and then I think we filled two spots last week. So we got to get it ramped up, though. Because
we're going to have to do these drafts.
Drafts are coming up here, man.
We
got to start ramping that up. And, of course, daily depths as well. We've got the franchise, the Magical Beard of Fantasy, Matt Franciscovich. What's up?
Hey, James. Good to have you back.
Matt Harmon, who is not an idiot.
Mm. Aww.
It's kind.
Right.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
It's nice to see our therapy work.
Not
yeah.
delayed reaction, but.
Not really feeling this podcast.
Why is that? Why is that, pal?
It's like 3 o'clock.
You know,
I only record these in the morning.
Okay.
Wow, spoiler alert. We're pre-taping this one because if you guys didn't know, Fantasy Live is back, but they're taping in the podcast studio. And where can they watch that? Is it 1:30?
At 1 o'clock. NFL.com/FantasyLive.
Yep.
Is the website that you can go check that out on. We've got MG My Guy Marcus Grant. What's up?
What's going on?
And the Wiz Kid from Wisconsin, the man behind the glass.
Yo.
Alex Gilhar. What's going on, man?
Not too much. Ready to get this show on the road.
All right, let's do it. Top news then.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go. Woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
How about in Denver? Devontae Booker is getting first-team reps after C.J. Anderson, but ahead of Ronnie Hillman. That, according to Broncos reporter Mike Kliss, one of the best in the business of KUSA. What do we make of the news, gentlemen?
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
And it basically helps me with my C.J. Anderson narrative.
What's the C.J. Anderson narrative?
That he's going to be good.
Oh, okay. Here's the thing. Devontae Booker out of Utah, everyone says he's going to be a great fit for this one-cut scheme, zone blocking scheme there in Denver. It doesn't scare you a little bit, maybe, possibly?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
I still think he's the better. I think Devontae Booker is maybe the future in the backfield there in Denver, but I don't think that future comes this year. But I did believe that he was going to surpass Ronnie Hillman on the depth chart. That doesn't surprise me.
I think that surprises no one.
I think we'll see Booker this year. We'll see him maybe in some third down situations. We'll see him when they want to give C.J. Anderson a rest. But I think this is Anderson's backfield unless he somehow, unless he gets hurt or somehow miraculously underperforms. But I'm not expecting that this year.
They asked Devontae Booker what's up at the rookie symposium, and he said something along the lines of, listen, man, I'm not here to carry nobody's pads. I'm here to take somebody's job.
Wow. All right.
That's pretty strong.
He took Ronnie
job. There you go. Mission accomplished.
Does anybody worried about C.J. Anderson a little bit here? No?
Not really.
I worry about C.J. Anderson only because I think the offense could just be really, really bad, and that would limit his scoring opportunities if the quarterback position is a train wreck, and it very well could be. And for that reason alone, I'm probably not interested in drafting Devontae Booker at all, even if he's the theoretical backup as a handcuff.
Okay, there you go. We'll move on to Buffalo. Carlos Williams, back practicing, still banned 4 games, FYI, but he is practicing. Showed up to camp 20 pounds overweight because he was empathy eating with his Preggers wife. Coach Rex Ryan said the team isn't giving up on him after rumors circulated that Carlos Williams could be cut.
He's also facing a 4-game suspension.
He is facing a 4-game. He's still banned those 4 games, but he's back practicing. Does this mean anything?
Not yet. I think it's just encouraging that we saw what he could do last year on limited reps. He had over 500 yards and 7 touchdowns on less than 100 carries, I'm pretty sure. And he had a lot of explosive plays there. I remember looking this offseason of running backs. If he had had 100 carries, he would have had the highest percentage of those carries go for 10-plus yards last year among running backs that hit that threshold. But, you know, look, this is LeSean McCoy's backfield. All reports are that he's looking great.
Right.
Carlos Williams is just going to be a name to have, as we say, on speed dial if McCoy does get injured after his suspension is up.
And after he drops the empathy pregnancy weight.
Something. Is that a thing?
That is
apparently
a thing. That is what he told.
No, I mean, as a father.
Oh, I'm the only person here.
As the resident dad of the except Galhart, theoretically, you know, as the only.
I don't have a child,
but you are very much a dad.
I do have a lot of dad-like tendencies.
Okay. A lot. Well,
I thought Franciscovich was dad shy.
No, he's just old.
He's not actually a dad though.
Okay. He's just old. Okay. Galhart just has very dad-like tendencies. Like, and believe me, as the person that lives with him, okay, I get a lot of the heat. It's like, honestly, it is like living with my father again. Hey, don't forget to lock your doors. Don't forget to do this. Anyways, my point being though, is that a thing? Like, do you actually gain
pregnancy weight,
sympathy weight when your lady is pregnant?
I think it's here's the problem, right? Like, you know, you want to eat right and do all those kind of things, but and also like go to the gym, but you can't really. You do less of those things when your wife is pregnant because, first of all, she's asking for. Look, here's the thing, man. Like, pregnant women. Like, feel a lot of pregnant women feel like, you know what, man, it's all good. I could eat whatever I want because, hey, it's for the baby.
Yeah.
It's for the baby. Pickles and ice cream, hey. It's for the baby. My wife just, yeah, I mean, she never listens to podcasts. She's not going to ever know about this, but she was crushing Del Taco on the regular.
I mean, so was I for a while, but I wouldn't.
I think we have set the record for the earliest this podcast has officially gone off the rails.
She was destroying it to the point where I would get into the car and I would see like it was Del Taco and Taco Bell. She just has a thing for fast food, Mexican food. I don't know why. And I would get into the car and I'd see like an empty, cup, Taco Bell cup. And I'd be like, babe, like, why are you? What? And she's like, don't judge me. And so that's the thing. So when she's asking, hey, she's like, hey, hun, can you go get some Del Taco? Well, you're not gonna just go get Del Taco for her.
No way.
You're gonna get Del Taco for yourself.
Yep.
That's what happens.
I just thought this was pertinent information to discuss in case maybe we need to be on like baby watch in the future, like for fans.
So whenever a player announces right. that his or her,
I mean, do we?
You
need
know what, Harmon? You're going to be writing those columns now because of this.
Oh man.
All right, let's move on. Andrew Corliss.
All right, fine. Andrew Corliss signed to Detroit. He's facing a 2-game suspension. The league suspended him after he was sentenced to probation for firing a gun into the air after he had an argument with a woman outside of a nightclub back in July of 2015. If you're wondering why Detroit would sign Andrew Corliss, despite having a 2-game suspension looming, Eric Ebron hurt with a pretty bad ankle injury. Brandon Pettigrew still on the pup recovering from an ACL tear.
Also Brandon Pettigrew.
Also Brandon.
Their number one tight end right now, I believe, is Matthew Mulligan, who has been a journeyman, like, blocking tight end.
Is that a real name?
That's a real name. He's been
Matthew Mulligan?
Please, no Mulligan puns.
He's been a Patriot, a Packer, among others. But that's why they signed Corliss. I don't think anybody should be concerned about Corliss.
Matthew Mulligan's a real name?
Yeah. Yes.
He's a real person.
That is fabulous.
This guy, Cole Wick, I think, caught a pass in the preseason game against the Steelers.
Let's raise him up our draft boards.
But he's like fourth on the depth chart.
So. All right, let's talk about some injuries, shall we? I don't think Andrew Corliss, not fantasy relevant.
Nope.
Okay, we're moving on. How about in Cleveland? Josh Gordon had that quad injury. He returned to practice today, Monday. Activated off of the non-football injury list. It's his first practice since week 17 of 2014.
Wow.
He's been away from the game for 20 months. He told reporters today, though, quote, "I'm definitely the same guy," referring to his 2013 self, where he had 1,600 yards and 9 touchdowns.
All right.
Don't make an idiotic comment now, Matt Harmon.
You also missed the quote where he was super psyched to be a part of a team culture that he's really never experienced before with their Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, Hugh.
Okay.
Well, look, it's encouraging that Gordon and Elliott have returned back to practice. We need to monitor their injuries, especially with Elliott with the hamstring. But if healthy, he's going to take that huge load in Dallas.
But the thing about Gordon, whether he's healthy or not right now, is he's not in football shape. And it's going to take some time for him to get
there. I don't know if he's in shape, period.
Right. he's not. I think Hugh Jackson already came out and said he's not going to play in the Browns' second preseason game. So we're going to have to wait a little while to see him like actually catch
balls slow burn
in a game. Yeah.
One that James was on the updated rundown. I know you're operating off your phone right now.
Yes, I
actually might have just put it on my email. Was Gronk pulled up? Yeah, at practice. We need to talk about him.
Yeah, Gronk left practice. He apparently grabbed his leg. I think if I read the reports correctly, he was carted off.
I thought he walked off under his own power. I thought was what I saw.
Maybe he just ended up on the trainer's cart.
Did he just end in a coffin?
Gronk is now dead.
Oh man!
This is
I know.
Terrible.
It's progressed very quickly.
No, he just pulled up and walked off with the trainer, but it's concerning.
Considering his injury history.
Not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob.
Yep.
What do you got there, franchise?
Is this the part where I can say Chris Hogan?
Chris Hogan? Yes, absolutely.
No.
Yeah, say it. I want to see Matt get mad.
Chris Hogan. Chris Hogan forever.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Malcolm Mitchell had a gnarly dislocated elbow.
And is already back in
practice.
Doesn't matter.
His elbow's disconnected.
Narrative? This is a thing.
His elbow's disconnected. That means it's a trick elbow now. It's going to pop out randomly, which means this is going to open the door for Chris Hogan.
Okay.
This show already sucks.
This is the tweet from Mike Reese, who is a beat reporter there for ESPN following the Patriots.
One of the best.
One of the best, absolutely. No question about it. Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski left today's practice after pulling up while attempting to catch a Tom Brady pass on the sideline, I think is what he's saying, during a 7-on-7 drill. Again, something we'll just keep a close eye on. The Patriots, not great regarding giving you updates on injuries, so we'll see what happens there. But again, Rob Gronkowski did leave today's practice, pulling up.
The one note about that is if he is to miss any time, this could help Martellus Bennett's draft stock correct to probably be where it should be. He's going a little bit later than I think he should in those offenses. He was been targeted a fair amount by those guys, and you know if they do revert back to running more two tight end sets, which they did back in the day with Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, he could have a pretty big role. And the depth at wide receiver, I mean, Marcus is Chris Hogan love notwithstanding, isn't great with a lot of guys that have been injured, and Edelman's already been nicked up this preseason.
Right.
Amendola's kind of Mr. Glass. So Martellus Bennett should be a name to circle to watch through all of this as Gronk gets healthier and this Patriots offense materializes towards the regular season.
And not only that, at least in the first 4 weeks, Jimmy Garoppolo, at least what we saw in this first preseason game, I don't want to say he favors where am I going here?
Bennett.
The tight
Bennett.
End.
I was like, Alshon Jeffrey? No, that's the wrong Chicago Bear. It's not that he necessarily favors Bennett, but I think you're going to see a healthy mix. Even if Gronk is healthy, I think you're going to see a healthy mix of Bennett and Gronk.
At a purely tactical standpoint, if people are double-teaming Gronk, Bennett's 6'8", and he's a very good athlete. So
absolutely,
he's going to be a mismatch for most of the people that line up against him.
How about Ezekiel Elliott there in Dallas? He had a hamstring injury. He did return to practice. Good news for Zeke Elliott.
Yes.
Anything we should take beyond just the surface-level reports of him returning to practice?
I think the thing that I took away from him not being there, watching the Cowboys over the weekend, is that if you're looking for a handcuff, it's Alfred Morris. I mean, he's the guy who got a lot of work and looked fairly good against the Rams on Saturday. So if you are looking for a handcuff in that backfield, then Alfie Moe's the way to go.
Isn't it crazy?
Don't look for a handcuff because it's a waste of time.
Okay.
All right,
isn't it crazy how Darren McFadden racked up 1,400 total yards and now he's just, scrap heap material right now?
Well,
it's crazy.
Didn't he break his arm or something earlier this summer?
Yeah.
He did something.
Dropped his iPhone.
Tried to catch it.
Yeah.
And then he did and went Darren McFadden.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, in Green Bay, Jeff Janis expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks.
Just cancel the rest of the preseason.
After he had screws.
I don't want to live in this
world. Put into the bones around his index finger. According to Packers
there was a
reporter
reason.
Tom Silverstein.
There was a reason
Ian
I
Walker
didn't include
Jr.
this on the rundown. It's because I didn't want to cry today, James. No, I'm just kidding.
You've ruined it.
It's disappointing, but Janis was already shaping up to be a long shot to actually win that number three job from all the reports. He'll make the team as a special teamer because he's a great gunner and things like that. But
do you think he might just not make the team, though?
He's so good on special teams, and Ted Thompson has always loved that.
Gilhar, I'm not questioning your breakdowns of special teams here, but is he so elite that they can't just, you know, cut him and potentially throw somebody else in there? And I say this only
– That sounds exactly like you're questioning his special team.
Oh, really? I wasn't sure. But I'm just saying, like, if he was to get cut by the Packers, because I think there's just some players that don't fit with what a quarterback wants, and I think it's pretty clear that Janis and Rodgers don't jive well together, that he's somebody that could make an impact on a different team with maybe more of a loose quarterback.
Potentially. We'll have to see how it all plays out, but I just know they like him there, and they've been trying to develop him, and while he and Rodgers aren't on the same page, the fact that Rodgers always goes over and still tries to talk to him and get him on that same page, I think, speaks for something.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that little disaster scenario out.
That's fair.
Why are you just – you're trying to ruin Gilhar's day.
I'm not. No.
That's what –
listen, I'm not. I just think it's something worth floating out there that he's like probably already the fifth receiver or something, and he's hurt.
We've spent way too much time talking about Jeff Gilhar. Let's get to the preseason.
Week one takeaways. How about Lamar Miller and Carlos Hyde?
Lamar Miller I thought looked pretty good. He only got 4 carries, but he racked up about 30 yards with them. Yeah. And it's just the kind of case where, and we were talking about this with Damashek downstairs earlier today, you don't want to overrate quarterback play in the preseason because it's so tough to judge against them running vanilla schemes and against vanilla schemes. But if Brock Osweiler remains a bit erratic under center for the Texans, they're going to need to lean on Lamar Miller as a workhorse both in the passing game and rushing game. So I wasn't concerned about Lamar Miller before, but I'm getting even more excited now.
Okay. How about Carlos Hyde?
I thought he looked good. I mean, again, kind of limited action there. And I will say that overall, I mean, I think specifically Hyde looked good. But overall, I hate to say this.
A lot of question marks on the offense.
There are a lot of question marks. But I thought they moved the ball effectively at times. Much more so with Thad Lewis than with Blaine Gabbert, which RIP Thad Lewis.
Yes.
Now that he's out for the year.
But ACL. See ya.
But I thought, at least from some of the principles that you saw in the offense and some of the scheme fundamentals, you know, maybe my bitterness, I've allowed my bitterness to get the best of me.
There you go.
I'm still not on board with the Bruce Ellington hype, but I will admit that I think maybe there's a little something more to this offense than I originally thought.
Matt Harmon shaking his head and rolling his eyes.
Well, you know what I thought was interesting about the preseason and Carlos Hyde in particular was that he got 2 targets on the first drive.
Yes.
And that was probably the biggest question with him. Like, because we've certainly never seen him be a pass catcher, but, you know, there are a lot of people out there that say, well, he still can catch passes. And so that was nice to see. I mean, I know Dron got some work on the second series, I think it was. But
Gabbert missed Hyde horribly.
Yeah, Gabbert looked not good, surprisingly.
But those were, like, right out of the gate.
Surprisingly.
Right. Yeah, surprisingly, Gabbert did not look good.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about this offense. You know, as I've been kind of one of the hype mans of this offense.
Oh, my God. You love this Niners offense.
Well, I just think it's more like this offense is still not going to be good. It's not going to be efficient, but they're just going to run a lot of plays and especially throw a lot. And if Hyde is part of that passing game, that's an even bigger boost to his stock.
And my boy Vance McDonald got a nice touchdown there.
Showed some after the catch ability.
Yeah, a little wiggle. Had a little wiggle there.
Shoot that guy right out of his shoes there.
Boom.
Vance McDonald.
Late round
tight end Atari. His ADP is non-existent right now because
he's
not being drafted. So.
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
freebie.
Right. How about there in Tennessee? Derrick Henry, DeMarco Murray, they both look pretty good.
Yes, they did.
Don't care.
Wow.
DeMarco Murray looked good last preseason too.
Yeah. And I think what we should take away from them essentially carving up the Chargers is the Chargers still are not going to have a good defense. They were Football Outsiders 31st ranked run defense last year.
They were
DVOA
terrible.
Right.
The run.
And they were awful again in the preseason. I mean, that one of those Derrick Henry long runs.
His touchdown.
I think was it his touchdown or one of his first couple runs? I mean, they just can't set the edge at all. And the fact that they're, you know, bickering with their third overall pick this year, who's supposed to be a big run defender.
Right.
Yeah.
Not good.
That was the biggest thing is Henry looked good, but he was getting the edge way too easily for a guy of his size.
Which,
and
if you read Graham Barfield's Yards Created series, he points out that even though Henry is a big banger guy, he's much better running on the outside like that. Because when he gets a lane, it's just like, oh my God, how do you stop that guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I just give props here? Maybe it's Daily Daps, but I would just want to say it's interesting, right? Because Matt Harmon wrote a truther piece on Terrence West. And then the franchise, also the same week, wrote a truther piece on Christian Michael.
And they both
did.
And they both played well.
We rock. We're so cool. We're nailing the preseason right now, man.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like we should call franchise Fox Mulder.
Sure.
The Fox Mulder fantasy.
Because
I found the truth.
He has found the truth. That was the opening line of your piece.
I said the truth is out there, and
the truth
my mission today is to prove it.
There's, and that is,
and I did.
You are Fox Mulder, bro.
I found it.
You wrote a great piece. By the way, you can find these pieces on NFL.com/fantasy.
/Harmon and /franchise, respectively.
True.
Right.
But, Franchise, you were basically live tweeting the Chris and Micah performance, so why don't you give us your breakdown?
So before the game started, our social network guy, Bryce, was at this game, I believe, and he tweeted a photo of Michael, like, warming up at Harmon, and then Harmon added me to the chain.
There you go.
And the first thing we all noticed was that he had a senior on his jersey.
Yeah.
Michael Senior.
Around, like, the NFL's Chris Wessling chimes in with, he's so freaking mature, he's got a senior on the back
already,
there.
early signs of maturity, he's now Michael Senior.
Oh, good.
So that got me hyped.
Boom.
Good.
And then a couple minutes before kickoff, I tweeted out, I'm waiting to fire off Christine Michael hypes, like, added a Kermit the Frog gif going crazy on a typewriter. And then they, out of the gate, Russell Wilson passed a few times and handed off to Michael, and he
looked good.
Four of his 7 or 8 runs went for 8 or more yards or something.
I thought he
was
great.
Emerging from piles. He had one run to the outside.
Yeah, he showed off speed when he was able to get to the outside, but then also when he was inside, the power and the burst.
And good vision,
he looked
too.
Good
vision, too. And the article I wrote about him talks about how the physical aspect has never been the problem for him, which is what all these beat writers have been saying. It's never been a question of his physical ability. It's always been his maturity level and understanding of the playbook and how seriously he's taking being a professional football player. And now that he's Michael Senior, he's clearly taking it more seriously. And he was interviewed after the game, and the quotes that he said kind of reflected that he's serious about it this year.
And Carroll hinted that it could be a 1-2 punch.
Right.
With after the
game.
And that's my big takeaway, is that all you've done is doom us to another committee, because, you know, Rawls will be back.
No.
Rawls already working back. You got Michael, who may get some work. And then, you know, Franchise's old boy, CJ ProSize, is going to have to work in here somewhere as well.
ProSize is healthy again, so he'll be back into practice.
The PPR goat.
Can you name me a backfield? Can you name me 5 backfields that are not committees at this point?
Probably
Vikings,
not.
Texans, Packers, Chiefs.
Packers are
Saints.
Committee.
They're not
Chiefs.
Committee.
Chiefs might be a committee.
They're going to give it to Jamal Charles.
I would have said the
Cowboys.
Spencer, where's the goal line back?
Cowboys.
The Panthers.
Panthers. Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. Cam Newton's the Panthers running back.
That's right. He's
their RB1. All right. Melvin Gordon ended his touchdown drought. I don't know if you guys saw this.
Woo! Too bad it doesn't count.
I know. But it's still, he got in there. What I liked about it was on like a screen pass. He juked somebody. He blew past somebody. And then he just steamrolled Rashad Johnson on the way into the end zone.
It was nice. It was nice.
Did not give any Fs. Didn't care about his own well-being, which is a good sign for a guy coming off microfracture surgery.
I was so surprised by how explosive he actually looked coming off of this surgery.
Right.
Me too.
Which, I mean, it makes sense, because you remember, you know, months ago on this podcast, we talked about how they said it was like the most minimally invasive microfracture you could have.
That's
why he had a quick timetable for recovery. So to see that bear out on the field was very encouraging to me.
For sure. They gave him a lot of work there early, too, and he was driving into the pack full force, you know.
Yeah, I think he had 4 or 5 carries there.
What's his ADP right now?
I don't know, around
7,
maybe.
My goodness, that's a value.
After you see this performance, you got to feel better about it.
Feel a lot better about getting him in there.
I don't know if you feel – I don't know if it's going to move his price up, but I think it solidifies where he's at in that 7th or 8th round, no?
He's a good running back to target where things get murky. When you get to the Jonathan Stewarts and Jeremy Langfords and Matt Joneses of the world.
Yes.
With Gordon showing up that well in what should be a much better offense, seeing a performance like this makes me feel a little bit better about
him. All right, there you go.
I'm with you.
All right, let's talk about the NFC North, shall we?
Let's do it.
Let's start with the Bears. What do we make of the backfield?
Oh, God, what a mess.
Jeremy Langford.
Langford's the guy you want in fantasy, but – there's no
Jordan Howard.
I didn't watch. I didn't watch much of the Bears offense.
It was so bad.
But like,
it was bad.
Yeah,
it was bad.
So give me the talk to me like I'm an idiot. Give me the rundown. Like, why is this so bad?
Like
Matt Harmon, who's an idiot.
Great.
That was too easy.
The quarterback.
I kind of queued that one up.
Yeah, I saw you telegraphing it. It's okay.
I felt like the quarterback play was very inconsistent.
They got sacked a lot.
Yeah, the offensive line was just a mess. You know, the other thing I thought about the Bears too that really does not bode well for their backfield at all is the fact that I think their defense looks garbo.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks bad, really, really bad. If they're playing from behind quite a bit, I don't know. I just, you know, again, how many dump-offs can possibly, you know, be divvied about? I just don't know. So, for me, I'm just like, this backfield
Ugh.
Yeah, it's a mess.
I mean, I don't think it's any different, though, than what we've been talking about since about March. I mean, you know, from the beginning, and we've all said this repeatedly, that the Bears have just put it on Front Street that they're going to run a committee here.
Sure.
And
yeah.
Nothing I have seen so far seems to suggest otherwise.
Hey, you know what? I will say this, just kind of building upon the Chicago Bears' bad defense. It makes me feel a lot better about guys like Alshon Jeffery, Kevin White, and Zach Miller. I think, again, we're going to see a situation like we saw with the Jaguars last year, who had a horrendous defense last year, that when you have bad defenses like this, you got to start, you know, when they start slinging the rock in the third and fourth quarter, I mean, good things happen from fantasy.
And you have a turnover-prone quarterback, although Cutler had a pretty efficient year last year when
he was
on the field.
He did.
As SB Nation posted this stat on an article recapping that Bears game, the Bears allowed more sacks than they picked up first downs in that.
Whoa.
Game.
Woof. So. Yeah, the backfield, what's concerning to me, too, I think, like you said, French, is Langford's the guy to own, but Jaquizz Rodgers got in early. Kadeem Carey's still getting work. We saw him get work last year, so outside of Jeremy Langford, I'm not feeling as great about taking, you know, a super late round shot on Jordan Howard or anybody else's goal line back.
Yeah.
This is just going to have to be a situation that we monitor in the season and see who, if anyone, emerges outside of Langford.
Where's Langford going, right? Like, he's going eighth round?
Fifth round?
I don't know. It varies so widely because, like, in NFL 10s, you can get him in the eighth round, but and especially, like, in more probably sharper leagues. But, like, I know his ADP on Fantasy Football Calculator is still, like, yeah, crazy high.
Early fifth round.
Early
fifth. But it's dropping, though.
Yeah, okay. And, like, that's untouchable. But if he gets to that eighth round range, I'm fine taking a stab on him because we do, like, we saw he has big game potential if he gets touches.
All right, there you go. What about Kevin White? Like him? Don't like him? What can he do? 1,000 yards? Seven touchdowns?
I'm
cautiously optimistic about Kevin White, maybe because I drafted him in Dynasty last year and I'm still waiting for him to come back and play. But
okay.
I do think it goes back to what you were just saying about how the Bears could be forced to throw the ball a lot, especially late in ball games. And, like, let's face it, he's a big athletic receiver. Now,
sure.
Alshon Jeffery will own the majority of, or at least a plurality of the targets there.
Yeah.
But I do think Kevin White can be a playmaker in that offense. So, I think if you're getting him at a late round price.
Oh, for sure. He's
as,
going double digit, right?
You know, as your fifth right wide receiver or more, then I think you have the potential to have kind of a sleeper gem on your hands.
Wiz, you scoffed when I said 1,007.
I just don't know that there's going to be that type of volume for him in the offense with the amount of passes that are going to go to the backfield, that are going to go towards Alshon Jeffery, and that are going to go towards Zach Miller, who has a rapport with Cutler more so than White does, and Cutler has a history of throwing to his tight ends. I think 1,000 yards is going to be a tough ceiling for him to break. I would more figure he's in like that 800 to 900 range.
How many passing yards do you think Jay Cutler will have this year?
Shrug emoji? I don't know.
4,000?
I mean, I think he can
probably
4,000.
Yeah, I think he gets about 4,000.
Yeah,
it's hard not to get to 4,000 passing yards
in this league. Yeah, no, I agree. And for that reason, I think you're right. I mean, here's the thing: I think Kevin White's got at least the athletic profile. And again, there's nobody pushing him.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No, like,
on that depth chart. You know what I'm saying? So, like, for me, and again, Zach Miller, great. It's fine. I think 850 yards for Zach Miller's fine. But I just think about the share. His share in the targets, I'd be surprised if he doesn't get at least 1,000 yards, considering that, again, there's just no one on the depth chart.
Cutler has only actually crossed 4,000 passing yards once in his career, and it was that what now looks like magical 2008 season in Denver before he was traded to Chicago. Last year, he had 3,600 in 15 games.
Okay, so I guess he won't get to 4,000.
Really?
It would be quite a big performance from him. But right. he threw under 500 pass attempts, too. And if they're going to be that bad
That's
on
weird.
Defense, yeah. Well, he did miss one game, but still.
Right. Still. You guys obviously love Zach Miller.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's one of my favorite late-round tight ends. I know Franchise is in the same boat with me as well there.
Yes, I am. I wrote about him back in June in my late-round tight ends to target. And it's just a matter of there's Jeffery, there's White, and there's Miller in that passing game. And that's, you know, the volume is going to be there.
All right, let's talk about Detroit. I think Stafford, when I start thinking about it, I read a report today. They really want to go high tempo. They want to run a lot more no-huddle offense and basically ask Stafford to do more in terms of being able to call plays at the line. But the bottom line is they want to move the offense a lot quicker. to me, I start feeling like, you know, again, with the arm talent that Stafford has, albeit it's very streaky, he doesn't have marquee names catching the rock.
Right.
But with the guys that he has, Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, Theo Riddick, Ameer Abdullah, there's something to be said there. You know, again, am I saying he's going to be a locked and loaded top 10 guy? No. But as a second quarterback, anybody starting to buy that a little bit?
Yeah.
I mean, he's going largely undrafted in leagues, man.
Yeah, I mean, I can buy it. I do think this offense, particularly the passing game, is going to look a lot different this year than it has in the past. You talk about them wanting to go up-tempo, and part of being able to go up-tempo means that you have to throw a lot of high-percentage passes that you can complete. I mean, if you're throwing incompletions, that throws the whole works off.
Sure.
So I think, you know, that bodes well for Theo Riddick and Ameer Abdullah and Golden Tate as well. I mean, as much as I love your March to 1100 on Marvin Jones, this might put a little bit of a kink in that if he's going to be more of their downfield guy. I think that will make it a little bit hard. Not to say he can't get there, it just makes it a little more difficult. But this offense and Matt Stafford are going to look a lot different this year than in the past, where, you know, look, you knew you might get two or three interceptions a game out of Stafford, but you knew you would get some downfield throws and some yardage and some touchdowns as well.
And if I could speak to that a little bit, that idea of the short passing game, from week 8 on, which is when offensive coordinator Jim Bob Cooter took over,
right,
Matt Stafford had just a 6.7 average depth of aim throw per Pro Football Focus, and that was one of the lowest among starting quarterbacks in that span. So you already saw them start to install that high percentage passing, you know, low average depth of target offense. But I think that does fit Marvin Jones just as much, if not better, than Golden Tate.
Because, 100% agree.
Because he's a really, if you look at his reception perception, Jones's highest scores are on slant routes, curl routes, flat routes, and out routes. And those are all in the short to intermediate range. And he wasn't actually that great of a deep threat in Cincinnati, but it's just what they needed him to do. And so he'll be more of a short to intermediate guy there too. And I think that both these guys are going to be great for fantasy, but I love Jones at his stupid
at his price.
He's
right.
Yeah. No,
what is he going, 10th round?
He's been a 9th to 8th round pick. Now he's currently like a mid 8th round pick, but like he's wide receiver 38 and Golden Tate is up there
like 19-20.
Yeah. Overvalued.
What with Stafford too? I just didn't mean to cut you off there on that, the Tate's value thing, but like you said, that made them much more efficient when they went to the short passing thing. He had, from week 9 on, 19 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
That's
if,
really
if you're going to buy into that. Now, granted, that was with Calvin Johnson.
True.
Who is no longer there.
Right.
And we can't overlook that, because the combination of Golden Tate, Anquan Boldin, and Marvin Jones are not Calvin Johnson.
Yeah. That being said, it's not like Calvin Johnson just, I mean, tore the roof off of people. You know what I mean? They had to game plan for him, clearly.
Yes.
But still, it's not like he was catching, you know, 203 touchdowns a week or something.
That 8-game stretch has to be among the best in Stafford's career, though, in terms of,
I think it was,
you know,
historic for, in terms of Lions quarterback, like a run for the team.
Before we pencil
doesn't that give you hope that maybe Stafford can?
Let me punch a hole in that hope, because while I do think that it should be there, the one thing we do need to note is that they had a really great schedule down the stretch too. They played Green Bay twice. They played Oakland, Philadelphia, St. Louis, New Orleans, San Francisco, and Chicago. Most of those bad defenses. So I think that's probably something to take into consideration too. Before we're like, oh, Jim Bob Cooter, next great offensive coordinator. They played a pretty cupcake schedule.
No, for sure.
Down the stretch.
I think too, we can't overlook Anquan Boldin when he signed with them.
Yes.
We kind of dismissed it like, ah, he's old, he's washed, whatever. But he had one catch for 30 yards in the preseason game, and everyone kind of was like, whoa, there's
like,
Anquan Boldin.
It looked like old school Anquan Boldin catching the ball and like running through dudes.
And
I think
with Ebron,
they need to just play him at tight end.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. With Ebron down, he's gonna fill kind of, not, you know, he's not gonna play tight end, but he might run some of those routes that were
probably a better tight end option than anybody else on that route.
I would agree.
I think he takes a dig into Tate's value a little bit too, because they've already said that he's gonna take some slot snaps from Tate, and that's gonna move him outside where he might be just a better interior player. And, you know, same thing, like in the red zone, Tate had like a crazy short average depth of red zone touchdowns last year, and I think that Boldin could dig into that as well.
100%.
Oh, I think that's going to be 100% for sure. We're going to see James Jones style, like hoodie style, you know, week one or week two. We're going to see one of those 2 touchdown performances from Anquan Boldin. We're all going to be sitting here saying, oh, why is
don't
happening?
Buy into it.
All right. It's all about Marvin Jones, baby.
All right.
Top 24 receiver this year.
Woo!
Go to the Packers.
All right, let's go. Let's talk about the Packers. here's the thing. I was
Wait, actually, did we touch?
I'm sorry.
On, did we touch on Amir and Theo Riddick though, or did
not
we jump
really
right past them?
Not
brief.
Really.
Don't draft any of them.
Yeah, not really. I'm not into it.
Don't care.
It's similar. It's similar to the Bears situation. It's just like huge question marks. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Well, are you high on any one of those two guys?
I don't mind Amir Abdullah in that, like, because he's going in like the 8th to 10th
right.
round.
Same.
If I'm grabbing him as my fourth running back there for a why the hell not bounce back potential. I still believe the guy is talented.
I agree with that 100%. My problem is, Lions, why do you have the same player twice on your roster? Why?
one's actually good between the tackles and the other isn't.
I mean, like, why?
I don't know, man. I'm just not buying it. He's got fumbling issues. Didn't he have double shoulder surgery this offseason, too?
Yeah, something crazy.
I think he could be good, but he could be a legit good player this year, and I think he will bounce back from some of the rookie struggles. But, like, for fantasy, I mean, I don't really – I'm with you. Like, his draft price is totally fine, and I've taken him a few spots there. But, like, he's a between-the-20s runner. You're going to need him to bust off big plays. Like,
yeah,
it's basically the same proposition as like Tevin Coleman, except he might get a few more rushes.
All right. By the way, we're going to talk about the Packers right now, but I'm sorry, Wiz, did you throw in here how high will Shreddy Lacy climb?
Shreddy Lacy.
I've seen it flying around on Twitter. Our friend at Jersey Jen, FF Degenerate on Twitter, and a couple of people.
She's trying to make this a thing, and I'm on board with that.
Shreddy Lacy. First of all.
It's fun. Look. I editorialize a little bit in our rundowns for giggles.
Yes.
You know.
No. But let me ask you this. He is not really. I mean, he slimmed down from what we saw last year.
Yeah, which was defensive lineman weight. He shredded back down to big
not
back weight.
Shredded.
All right. So then if you don't like that,
okay.
For all the the '90s alternative / Pearl Jam fans, what about Eddie Vedder?
Eddie Vedder.
God.
I don't like that.
I don't mind that one. I don't think that's metal enough for him. Right,
okay. Exactly. Anyways, Eddie Lacy, I don't know if any of you guys watched this Packer game. Obviously, I did, but he looked strong. He
yeah.
looked like
oh, man,
the, he looked dude. Like the Eddie Lacy of old. Where
oh yeah,
I mean, he's not a game breaker, but if people try to arm tackle him at the line of scrimmage, he ripped right through those
oh, yeah.
and had that. It's not a great second gear. It's like in my 4-cylinder Hyundai when I have to go up a hill, it gets a little bit of juice. But he was powering into the second level, and it looked good.
You know what we saw too? The patented spin move.
Yes,
We saw a little bit of the spin move.
Eddie Lacy, for being a big guy, has got one of the best B buttons in the league. Man.
Oh, for sure.
Nice.
Oh man, I love it. But again, not shredded. I was actually surprised by how big he looked, considering all of the pictures we saw of him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He wasn't. I was expecting a little bit more.
I mean, the tight jersey has never been flattering on a big guy like Eddie Lacy.
Good point.
So. Just pull up that picture of him in the Lions game from last year if you want to see the difference.
That's true.
But again, Lacy was his first 2 years in the league was a top 6 fantasy running back each
yeah.
year. He's excellent out of the backfield catching passes. He's a better between the tackle runners than James Starks. And as much as Green Bay wants us to believe it's going to be a committee, I don't think that will be the case.
You know what's
if
really
Lacy
funny?
Is in the shape he looks now.
I wouldn't be surprised if Eddie Lacy goes in a lot of leagues at the top of the second round. Because, again,
right.
when you're picking on that turn and you're looking at, waiting 20 picks between your picks, sometimes you just got to go get your guy. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't actually be surprised to see Eddie Lacy go there in the second round. And, considering all of the question mark guys that are kind of in that second round running back range, I don't hate it. I don't love it. I just don't hate it either. That's all.
Yeah, he's like a mid-second rounder right now. He's been around that range for the entire offseason. I don't think he's going to creep into the first round if you're saying he's going to keep climbing. But
all right, how about Randall Cobb?
Love him.
Yes.
Love him.
Okay.
One of my favorite picks this year.
Wrote about him.
Guaranteed, locked and loaded wide receiver, top 20.
Top 15.
Oh, I said top 15.
Yeah,
if he's not top, if he's not top 15, something went really bad.
Agree.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I got him for $16 in our auction mock today, and I was like, how did this happen?
That's
crazy.
That was
legit.
You know what it was? And this is just a peek into my recap. It's like when you're in an auction, if a boring player like Randall Cobb, perceived boring player like Randall Cobb is out there early,
right.
People don't bid up on those guys because they're like, all right, I want to get like a wide
gotta
receiver
save.
One,
Right. Yeah.
I got to save for like one of the good guys, So you can pluck guys like that.
I've been saying because I think Jordy Nelson is kind of the linchpin in this offense. He's the guy who puts everybody else in a role that they're more comfortable in and allows everybody else to succeed. But not only that, but all the reports of how this offense has been performing, about how this passing game has been performing with Aaron Rodgers at the helm have been just spectacular. As it's funny that we started talking about this because moments before we got to this subject, I just see Chris Wessling, quote tweeting something from Rob Domofsky, and basically the words "especially sharp" and "special" are being used in relation to Rodgers in the passing game, and that helps everybody, including Randall Cobb.
I mean, let's not forget that 2 years ago, Randall Cobb wasn't a wide receiver two. He was a wide receiver one. Yeah. He was, I think, the wide receiver six when Jordy Nelson was the wide receiver two.
Here's the thing. In 2014, as you mentioned, 91 receptions, 1,300 yards almost, and 12 receiving touchdowns. But if you look at what he has done really in his career, those numbers are outliers, man. He doesn't have another 1,000-yard season under his belt, and his second highest touchdown receptions was 8, and that goes back to 2012. So I don't know, man. It's interesting you guys are so high on him. I'm projecting more of an 1,100-yard season, 7 or 8 touchdowns.
His touchdown ceiling's much higher in that offense. They love him in the red zone.
Yeah.
Love him in the red zone. Despite being a small guy, he's in his history with him and Jordy Nelson on the field, I think they're neck and neck in red zone targets.
But 8 touchdowns is not bad. That's what I'm saying. I mean, Julio Jones had 8 touchdowns last year. So, I mean, I don't think – I'm not downgrading his ability, especially in the red zone, by saying he's going to get 7 or 8 touchdowns. I just think double digits for Randall Cobb when, again, you've got Eddie Lacy, you've got Jordy Nelson. I'm not sure.
I'll say this. This almost feels like I'm making the Eric Decker argument again, but Randall Cobb's had double-digit touchdown. Or actually, I take that back. Never mind. Continue on.
Continue.
I'm looking
on.
At the wrong.
No, but he has it. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That 12 touchdown season that he had, that was his. It's actually an outlier when you look at his stats.
Yeah, but those other seasons were 2013. He was ravished with injuries. 2012 was his sophomore year, where he was still having to get past other players.
Okay.
And scored those 8 touchdowns on a much more loaded offense that still had Greg Jennings and I believe James Jones there as well.
Yeah.
In 2012. Let me just double check that. No. Jones, Finley, Nelson, and Jennings were all on the team in 2012. So 2014 is the best picture of what this offense looks like when Cobb and Nelson are there and healthy, and that's what's going to be the case again in 2016.
And, like, who else are they going to throw to?
We
can sit here and talk about who's going to be the third receiver. With the answer is probably – nobody cares. Nobody cares who's the third receiver because none of them are that good.
They're not going to be productive enough to.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I love Ty Montgomery. No,
is he practicing?
He's barely played.
I know he's injured. No, I know he's injured. But I'm just saying, as the season progresses,
maybe by the end of the year.
Sure, that's what I mean.
The thing is, like, I'm glad you mentioned that, Harmon, because I was thinking about this, but I lost track of it when we were actually in the flow of the podcast here. Is that like. There is no need for a third receiver. They will use it on a matchup-based level, but that third receiver will at times be Eddie Lacy. It'll at times be Jared Cook. Mm. And this is, Harmon, I like your phrase you use for concentrated passing offenses. If these two are at full strength with Aaron Rodgers, it's going through Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, again, if both of those guys are healthy and playing, of course, both of those guys are going to see 90 receptions each. I don't think that's much of a stretch. But this is an offense, too, though. I mean, they go – again, they're going to go 11 personnel a lot. Are they not?
I don't know. They probably – I mean, they do. Historically, they have been a 3-wide receiver offense.
Right.
And so they would like somebody to step up, but they would have liked some of their guys to step up last year. And that didn't happen. And, I mean, I think Davante Adams and nobody was lower on Davante Adams than I was coming into last year. And I think he can be an okay number 3 receiver, maybe ideally like a number 4 receiver. But, he's probably not worthless like he looked last year, especially because he was hurt too. But I just don't think that player is going to be as important as it was when they were running a ton of 3 wide receiver sets with 3 really good receivers before.
The thing is, too, Mike McCarthy is historically one of the most diverse in his personnel packages. They might run 11, but they might have, then they'll switch it up and they'll have 2 fullbacks. They'll have 2 tight ends. They run the wishbone, for God's sake.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a big enough trend to rely on. And if it's 3 wide receivers, that's not to say it's always going to be the same third receiver.
It's a good point. It's a very good point. All right, let's talk about the Vikings. Adrian Peterson in the first. He's going late in the first round, I do believe. Although, I take that back because I know in a lot of regular person leagues? I don't know what to call it.
Non-freak show.
Casual.
There you go. In more casual leagues, Adrian Peterson can be seen anywhere near like the very, very top or at the very latest at the end of the first round. But, yeah, man, do we believe in his price there in the first round? Yes? No?
Yes, that's I believe.
That's a worried sign.
I mean,
bro.
I do believe. I do. And I think what happens with that, with Adrian Peterson, or what's happening with Adrian Peterson this year, is that people are looking at the age and they see, was it 31?
Yep.
And you know, I still think whether or not it's valid, I still think the idea of 30 being the beginning of the end for running backs is starting to take hold. And Peterson's
right.
been so good for so long.
And he's gotten so much work, too.
And I think that's it. I think there's just – I think you're sensing some caution coming in with Adrian Peterson that people realize, look, it can go at any time. And for running backs, when it goes, it generally goes really quickly. And I think
it's
that's
true.
The concern for him as a first-round back. If you're talking second or – you know, certainly he'll never get to the third round. But if you're talking second round, I think you feel a little bit better. But for a first-round guy – where just if it suddenly goes sideways, you're going to be really hurting.
Yeah, and here's my issue with Peterson. Even if he doesn't take a step back from last year, even if he's the exact same player with the exact same outlook and the exact same workload, mm-hmm. he still had four games of under 7 points. And it's the same argument that I make with Todd Gurley, where except where Peterson has a better quarterback and it isn't a better offense, so he's got those things going for him ahead of Gurley. But he, just like Gurley, he does not have a clear passing game role like some of these other guys do, so his floor is nightmarish.
Right.
Even though he's Adrian Peterson, he can still pop you in with like a five-point week, and that's just tough to take from a
first-round
running back.
He might be coming off the field on third downs.
Here's the thing,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, and he and Teddy Bridgewater are like oil and water right now, with where Bridgewater is much more effective when they spread the field, when they go shotgun
yep.
heavy, and Peterson yeah. just, at this point in his career, can't or won't do that.
He has to come from 7 yards deep, otherwise he's not
yeah.
doing anything.
Right.
It's interesting, though, because Adrian Peterson is actually acutely aware of that
mm-hmm.
and has talked about a lot in this offseason. I believe he actually talked to NFL media's Marshall Faulk about wanting to be much more involved on third downs and in passing situations. He apparently has worked on that a lot.
Yeah, I've seen that story crop up a couple times about how he's been spending a lot of extra time trying to catch passes. So
that's interesting to me. That's interesting to me. And plus, again, he's a cyborg.
Right. Yes.
I mean, the talent level just, I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. So I get the concerns. I just don't think this year is that year.
Right.
I'm generally with you that I would not take him in the first round, but that I'm not taking really any running backs that aren't named David Johnson or Ezekiel Elliott in the first round.
Yeah. Right.
I still think that we're probably still a year away from his crater year.
A lot of great reports regarding Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
In that last year, they basically tried to force him on the outside. He doesn't necessarily have that speed or even that size and athleticism to be that guy. So what did they do this offseason? They're moving him around. They're moving him into the slot. They're playing him on the outside. They're playing him right next to the line, flanker. They're moving him into a lot of different spots. And apparently, he has really, really excelled by picking up the playbook and basically just being a matchup nightmare.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that when you're watching, you know, we're following along with all the training camps on Twitter and stuff, seen a lot of glowing tweets, and I've seen
yeah.
a lot of glowing vines.
Oh, yeah.
Here's Stephon Diggs roasting ex-cornerback. Here's Stephon Diggs in a team. I think they played the Titans, and he roasted somebody. Stephon Diggs with another amazing catch. Oh, look, Stephon Diggs with a one-handed catch. So I think we had a lot of people, us included in this room, had bought into Treadwell a little more this year because of his touchdown potential being that red zone threat. But I think we were overlooking just how good Stephon Diggs played last year and the development he's taken this year. I think he's the wide receiver to own in the Minnesota offense now.
I think as well, when you look at the game logs for Stephon Diggs last year too, it was concerning, right? Because he had a nice little 2-3 game stretch where he was very impressive. But because it's such a low-volume passing attack, we especially saw down the stretch, he didn't do almost anything from a fantasy perspective. And I felt like it burned a lot of people because people were chasing those points that we saw earlier.
For sure.
Well, he had, four, dominant games statistically.
It was insane.
Right, to get off the bat. He had 87 yards against Denver. He went over 100 yards in the next one, and then he had 90 and a touchdown, I think, in that final one before he never – topped 70 yards again down the stretch. But, you know, I put him through reception perception recently. His 71.3 success rate versus man coverage is the highest after Tyler Lockett and better than Amari Cooper out of the rookies that I've charted last year. He's just pretty, around league average against press coverage. But I think that speaks to trying to move him around, get those different matchups in there. And I think he's a sneaky candidate for, 115 targets. And I just wrote an article that if you pretty much get to the 120 mark, that you're almost – it's hard to not have
a top 20 season.
A top 24
season. I agree.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. This Minnesota offense, it's interesting, man. Like, their receiving core might be really good, like, this time next year. Because I think Diggs is legit. I love Treadwell as a talent. And Charles Johnson is showing up again.
Yeah, is.
Here we go.
He's alive.
And listen, if those guys all keep progressing on the current trajectory that they're on, that's
offense
a good
could be really fun.
I hear everything you guys are saying about all these wide receivers. I do. I hear it, and I don't
Here
doubt
it. Here he comes.
And I look at the roster, and I see Teddy Bridgewater.
God, I wish I had a Debbie Downer sounder for you right now.
I just
when Teddy's able to run more in an offense that suits his skills, he will be fine.
I want to believe. I do.
Are we a year away? Is that what you're saying?
Teddy, I keep telling you, he's Alex Smith without the running ability. This is a guy who last year, in 16 games, threw 14 touchdowns. How?
I don't know.
How do you do this in a league that everything is slanted toward quarterbacks and wide receivers? Like,
and they made the playoffs.
I mean, this is a guy who had 3,200 yards and 14 touchdowns. And I believe Stephon Diggs is as good as Matt Harmon says he is. I do. I believe that Laquon Treadwell can be the playmaker in this offense. I would say that Treadwell, I guess, the upside there is that he could potentially be a touchdown guy.
Yeah.
I worry that Diggs, for all the good things he does, still might top out under 1,000 yards this year just because of the way this passing offense works.
Interesting.
And I know there's been a lot of clamoring for, you know, which is weird, like people kind of clamoring to see the post Adrian Peterson era because he's like the greatest running back of our generation for sure. Mm-hmm. But just because people are so curious about, can Teddy Bridgewater take another step in an offense that suits him more? But if you listen to Mike Zimmer talk, I think there was some press conference recently where he was talking about, there's a lot of quarterbacks that go out there and, you know, put up, basically subtweeting Blake Bortles, like go out there and put up a bunch of numbers, but then lose the game. My quarterback doesn't put up any numbers, and then we still win. And so that is the way they do want to play. So to Marcus's point.
Well, they got a great defense.
Right, yeah. To Marcus's point, like that just might be what it always is. They might just be that way in Minnesota.
Speaking of their defense, am I the only one that's buying them as like a great kind of
sneaky
defense to scoop up in the last round?
No,
they're
totally
amazing.
I totally believe.
I think they've got a great defense. My only thing is their schedule, right? Like the NFC North, they're going to sling it a little bit.
If I cared about fantasy defenses, I would care, I guess.
People tweet us, tweeting me a bunch, like, why don't you guys talk about defenses more? So I wanted to get a little chatter in.
Well, here's a piece of advice. Stop caring about defenses and just stream them.
Harmon's so salty today.
Wow.
I defenses in most leagues too, but.
Well, all right. That's what we should be telling people. Meeting them at their, don't meet them. Bring them here.
No, because here's the thing. Streaming defenses is great, but it is nice when you don't have to necessarily stream them, mostly because it helps you focus more on sleepers, deep sleepers, guys, roster spots that you can hold on to for a long time. If you have the Seattle Seahawks, for example, you're not going to stream them, and I get that. And maybe some weeks that's not the best strategy. But I will tell you this. You could focus a lot more time on sleepers. You could focus a roster spot on sleepers. You don't have to necessarily think about the matchups every single week. And plus, I only say this because I play in a league, my league of record. You have a capped roster moves. You can only make 18 on the year.
Yeah, oh, that's interesting.
I do. I play in a summer league where you have to, you only make so many roster moves, and beyond that, then you have to kick in,
extra sandwiches.
All right, then. I'm sorry. I was being too salty, and I apologize.
A lot more strategery in those limited move leagues, by the way.
Yeah, totally.
Okay,
totally.
My bad. I'll just shut up for the rest of the podcast.
There you go.
which, by the way, I did get some questions, too. Some people were saying maybe we could do a little more – we'll do a lot of player-focused stuff here, some more strategy or theory kind of episodes, and we'll definitely whip one of those up in the coming weeks.
Right now we're doing team focuses, right? So anytime you do those team focuses, you're going to focus on
players. Gets player-specific.
But I will tell you this. As we get closer to draft week, no doubt about it, we're going to be talking about strategies because, we talked about it on the Fantasy Live show today. If you go wide receiver heavy versus if you're a traditionalist, what does your lineup look like? And again, you can find that on NFL.com/FantasyLive.
All right, should we get some people in these fan leagues?
Let's do it, man.
All right,
who
wants to start off? James, you got a lot of people to get
in.
Oh,
my gosh.
Why don't you kick us off here?
I'm going to burn through a bunch. I'm going to pick four people, okay? Woo! Four people. First one is going to... Can I find it? Yes, I can. Hold on 1 second. Stay with me here. The first one is going to go. This is, again, for the 16-team Danger Zone League. I want to welcome in. Congratulations to Scott Cumming at Tummage. And mostly because he wrote down. We have a – for the folks who are not in the TV or podcast business, we have a rundown. And a rundown is basically what we're going to talk about line item by line item, all right? This guy – made a fake rundown, basically saying, I'm going to rip you guys off, and and this is my fake rundown of my mock NFL Fantasy Live podcast. He says he's going to start off by saying Fantasy Creeps and Nerds. It's James L. Bow, Maddie San Franciscovich.
That's me.
The Sanchez. Matt Harmoire, Alex Gether, and Marcus Grand, which is great. For news articles, he wrote that Jeff Janis, injured fractured hand, he's the GOAT. Sammy Coates and Bruce Ellington must own. It's pretty good.
Accurate.
So we should probably just retweet the thing rather than going through the whole thing. But it is pretty fun.
I will say this, though. For his daily daps, this is great. Harmoire is going to daily dap BYB and Charles.
Makes sense.
That's pretty good. So we're going to have him. Congratulations to at Tummage. You are now in the Danger Zone League. How about at Terry LeBlanc? At MC Blanc. She tweeted out, I've done 2 to 3 mocks every night this week, prepping for fantasy football.
Woof.
She also says that she took. There's nothing better than listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast and taking a bath. So she's heavy.
I like that. I've never done that, but I might try that.
All right, there you go. And I think she's written 2 reviews, actually.
She did, yes.
And also,
going the extra mile.
A Big Brother 18 super fan is Terry LeBlanc, a female fan from north of the border. She's in Canada.
All right.
But she is a New York Jets fan. Welcome to the league, Terry LeBlanc. I will also welcome in a fellow by the name that goes by just Peter. He's at Ritters, 1234. This is his review. This podcast is as good as Jeff Janis in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Tyler Lockett's reception. Reception. Harmon's beard and Coe's laugh.
Woo. So all the money.
All the money. Great subscribe. You won't regret it. Welcome to the league at Ritters 1234. And finally, how about a fella who is heavy into my mentions? His name is Adrian, and I'm going to butcher the name, and I apologize. Adrian Alpanseke. At Alpanseke.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah, okay, fine. Gives it 5 stars. The best they are at what they do. Besides getting info, tips, and strategies, they're the best analysts. You get a very fun listen, dynamic show. On top of that, there's a guy who looks like Geno Smith. There's a guy who sounds like Samuel L. Jackson as well. I think he said that
who is
Alex Gelhar somehow sounds
maybe
like...
Maybe when my voice gets high and I get really incredulous, it sounds like Samuel L. Jackson gets riled up in a movie.
I think that's inaccurate.
Like when he's tired of these... Monday to Friday snakes
on this monkey fighting plane.
He's heavy into the mentions. He also does a lot of Simpsons tweeting. The reason I picked him and the reason I picked a lot of these folks, we're so popular internationally.
Yeah.
This fella says he does a 14-team league in Mexico. I like that.
Yeah.
We're getting international. We're getting a lot of different folks from different parts of the world. So I'm excited to welcome those folks into the
Danger. Welcome. All right, Bearded League, do you want to go next?
You want to go first, Franchise?
I'll go first. All right, I picked a guy who was pretty – what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, while you're looking for the word –
He kept tweeting at
persistent.
Me.
Persistent.
Persistence is key.
Just going to say thanks to everybody because we spent so much time sifting through all
– Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's overwhelming. I was saying to you this weekend as we were driving to tailgating, I was like, you know, I'm starting to feel like kind of bad for all these people that are going to apply and not get in.
Right, we really appreciate you guys, though. The reviews have been awesome, so thank you for sending them in. But all right, Frances.
Yes. All right, his name is Tim Jablonski.
Yeah, buddy.
At Tim Jablonski on Twitter.
I like this guy.
I believe he's from England, so
I like this
added
guy
to the international list. He wrote a nice little review here, and then he started tweeting at me. He said, hey, Matt, your beard is glorious. It's nearly as good as mine. I need to be in the listener league. I said, okay.
Okay.
but cool. I liked it, and I moved on, and then he went on a rant with a bunch of one-liners.
Oh, wow.
I am the Usain Bolt of trade replies. I will accept, reject, or counter offers in record time.
Oh.
That was the first one.
That's good.
Then he said, you probably want me to shut up, but I'm Prince Charles' neighbor, so I'm basically related to the queen.
I could ask
to get united.
That's solid.
Me and Liz, the queen, are pretty tight.
Oh, well, good.
Does that mean he lives on the River Thames, though? I mean, like...
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Then he said, I'm going to stop tweeting you now because I'm sure you're a very busy man. Keep up the good work. Peace out. And then he followed that up with, P.S. Your beard is superior to Harmon's. Keep this to yourself.
Whoa.
So I have already publicly acknowledged that.
And then with that tweet, I said, all right, buddy, you're in.
Hey, by the way, Tim, if you look at Tim Jablonski, he is wearing what is known as a Shakespearean ruff.
Right.
Yes.
Here's the thing. I didn't know what that was. This is what I Googled. This is a quote. What is the fluffy thing Shakespeare actors wear around their neck?
Nice.
I wouldn't have known what to Google for it either.
Thank you to the fine employees at Google that wrote the algorithms to help James out with searches like that.
Well, that search, the first thing that comes up, Shakespearean ruff.
Yep. There you go.
You can see it in
Google is amazing. Google is amazing.
All right, Harmon, who else are you guys welcoming in?
Yeah, so for one, that guy Tim is going to lose every single game, and I'm gonna block him on Twitter. So you have to get his email.
Good.
That's rude.
I'm just kidding, of course. Except he's not going to win any.
Okay.
But all right. So second one, and this is a review from iTunes. Almost as magnificent as my beard from Wild78. I've listened to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast for the last couple of years. I find it to be a great mix of humor, pop culture, fantasy football goodness, and snarky behavior.
True.
Or snarky banter, excuse me.
True.
Or maybe a little snarky.
Maybe a little snarky behavior, too.
Yeah, you never know what's going on back here. Standing in front of the mirror this morning, listening to the show, I found myself cursing your names as I applied my beard balm and brushed my magnificent man mane with my 100% Boar's hairbrush.
What's Perfect. He cursing wow. us for?
Wow.
He's getting there. For it was then I knew that you and your Listener League would be the catalyst forcing me to break an oath I made to myself years ago.
What is that?
My Facebook page only exists because my wife and I have because of my wife. I have zero social media footprint, and I respect that, by the way. I liked it that way. Here we are now in August 2016, and because of you, I have a Twitter account, which I hate about as much as James Coe hates the Chicago backfield.
Oh, wow.
So thanks for that. Please make this aggravation worthwhile by bringing me into the Bearded League.
Well, congratulations.
And there you go. It's all been worthwhile. And I appreciate your desire to live off the grid, as I would prefer to do that too. But here we are.
Here we are. One of the most active tweeters.
Talking
to us about how he wants to live off the grid.
I would be much better off.
How many tweets have you funneled out here?
Oh,
are you
I mean,
at?
Goodness.
Are you at? 10,000 more?
Far more than anyone else in the stronghold.
84,575.
I'm honestly amazed it's not 100K yet, but
jeez.
No, listen, I mean, I love Twitter. Twitter is great, but my life would be so much more free and in touch with the universe without it.
Great, Marcus.
Because I hate social media. I mean, I'm not on any other social media platforms diligently.
You are the one that keeps trying to push back every time. We're like, we're going to have to do this for social, for work. You're like, no.
No, we're not.
Marcus, who's in touch with the kids on social media, why don't you welcome our first guest into the OG League?
I will. It is the reviewer identifies themselves as Danica of House Stark. I won't read the entire review, but I'll hit some of the highlights. My name is Danica Starks, and I love this podcast, and not just because Marcus Grant looks and sounds like my Uncle Melvin. Don't know if I have an Uncle Melvin. I can tell you just from the review that Danica seems to be quite international. She says she has listened to the podcast from places like Azerbaijan and Uzbekistan.
Yes.
I genuinely love fantasy analytics and advice, as well as the less orthodox methods of evaluation, such as Alex Gelhard noting that starting a certain running back would be gross.
Hashtag analysis.
Yep.
I appreciate the insights into hosts' lives, such as hearing updates on Baby Co, Harmon's secret life in West Virginia, and everyone's ability to follow bands that I've never heard of. I would love to join one of the fan leagues, particularly the OG one, since I may be related to Marcus. But most importantly, House Stark is rising, and therefore would be good to have me on your team as winter is here.
That's a good point.
P.S. If any of my colleagues see this, I call dibs on becoming the future fantasy football ambassador. Well, just because of that, I got to let Cousin Danica into the league.
Yeah,
I like it.
Cousin Danica.
So welcome aboard, Cousin Danica.
And that was just an iTunes review as well. And then for the last fan league entrant we're going to get today, another one coming from iTunes. And this one is getting in because it tugged at Alex's sympathetic heartstrings there a little bit. But it's from LMW1204, titled OG Fan League Request. Says, after getting a 30 to 40 hour a week cleaning shift at a restaurant, I have the chance to be able to listen to many fantasy podcasts this summer, but yours is my absolute favorite. cites our amazing chemistry, banter. It makes it like he's part of a real fun conversation between friends and not a scripted rundown of players like other podcasts.
Great.
So then he says he loves hearing our stuff, and on a little extra on the side, he said that I personally inspire him because he's a 17-year-old senior in Wisconsin with a dream of working in sports journalism.
Hey, there you go.
He has a passion for writing and for football, writes mainly sports articles for his high school newspaper, and occasionally fantasy ones if he can sneak them in. But his family doesn't believe that being a journalist is a realistic possibility and are trying to push him into other fields. But he says after learning about me and working here, he's dead set on pursuing his passion, which I admire and respect the hell out of. So he says hopefully he can be a whiz kid from Wisconsin somewhere out in the
media. Hey, so, there you go.
With that, LMW1204.
Yeah,
iTunes,
buddy.
We're going to bring you into the league, man, and you can hit me up if you need anything else or have any questions as you prepare for that next step of your journey.
So it tugged at your heartstrings and your ego.
That was...
I rolled so hard at Harmon here.
That was heartwarming.
It was.
That is wonderful.
Go chase it, buddy.
Yep. All right, let's do Daily Daps and get out of here.
Let's do it.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the Daily
Daps and Hub. Give me daps, because I be scribbling rap.
Give me dabbing up, daps abound, daps. Daps.
All righty, Daily Dap time. Should we start with the franchise?
Sure.
All right, please.
I'm ready.
Do you have one now? Because I know in the tentative Google Doc rundown, you originally just put dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, I didn't have one.
Oh, I thought that was the name of a new band he was into.
Wouldn't surprise me.
What's wrong with this band on Spotify? They're called UM.
What's wrong with dapping bands?
Nothing.
I dap bands all the time.
Everybody seems to like that, actually.
But it is a running theme. It's a running theme here.
Follow the trends that I set.
Okay.
It's cool.
All right, there you go.
All right, today I'm not dapping a band. I'm dapping this squirrel that stole a GoPro camera.
Yes.
And from some guy and took it up into a tree and ran around the branches and actually filmed the video. And then he dropped the GoPro camera back to the ground and the guy picked it up and posted this video on YouTube. And
it's amazing.
I feel like it's a hoax.
A squirrel picking up a
camera. I was honestly, James, that's why I stared blankly at you for a second, because I that same thing crossed my mind. I'm like, but how? Like, I don't know how they would have, I guess they got to edit it or something.
Hey,
but
listen, man, CGI is a crazy thing. I don't know.
I don't think so.
What do you want from me here? I don't know.
Anyway, daps to this squirrel for hauling this camera up into
it's probably real, and I'm just a cynic. But it could be
fun. It's fun. Well, because, it's super sporadic. And
it's pretty sweet.
It looks like a squirrel.
There's probably some kind of nut to lure him, attached to the camera.
Okay.
That's what I imagine. But daps to that squirrel, that's tough to do. I've tried it.
MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, what's up?
I'm going to Daily Dap. Because we do spend time on Twitter, especially, even Matt Harmon.
We all
make Twitter friends, people that we haven't necessarily met in real life, but who have become kind of part of our everyday. And so my Daily Dap goes out to one of our good Twitter friends in the Midwest, Indy Sarah, who we chat with all the time about any number of things, including football or not. But I guess a couple weeks ago, she mentioned actually something on Twitter about watching the movie Birdemic, which I've heard of and never seen. Think of maybe the lowest rent, bootleggiest possible version of Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
Okay.
And that would be Birdemic, and I mentioned that I hadn't seen it. So today I got a package, and it was from Sarah with a copy of Birdemic and also a copy of the movie Roller Gator.
Huh?
Yeah. Which has one of the Esteveses in it, but not, Martin or Charlie or,
Emilio?
Emilio. So I don't know.
What Esteves?
What Esteves is left?
I don't know. But watching
Cousin Esteves?
I think so. Like watching the, just a couple of quick, I should look it up as I'm sitting here. But apparently it's one of the Esteveses. And, but on top of that, she also sent me some pretty kick-ass stickers. I can't think of the word. Stickers with superheroes on them.
Good.
So anyway, I just wanted to give a shout out and a thanks to Indy Sarah for hooking me up with this. I cannot wait to sit down and watch Roller Gator and or Birdemic. It's
bad animal horror films.
Yep.
200, please.
Yes.
It's
going to be great.
I like it. Wiz?
Mine's a quick one. The Premier League started this weekend, and Daily Daps to Liverpool for defeating Marcus's Gunners 4-3 in the opening game. It was actually 4-1. It was turning into a boat race, but then Arsenal got a deflection right back, and they snuck one in later. It was a really entertaining game, but it was great for Liverpool to open up the season 1-0, and it means I can go drink at the bar super early in the morning because Premier League games on the West Coast start anywhere from like 4 in the morning to 8 in the morning.
By the way, real quick.
That's very early.
Okay.
It's Joe Esteves.
Joe!
But he looks a lot like Martin Sheen, his brother.
Okay.
So there you go.
That's in your face.
There we go.
There it is.
Matt Harmon, what's up?
Oh, man, I don't really have any good ones.
Okay. Do you want me to go?
No, okay. I can go. Well, okay. So, you know, recently Gelhar obviously revealed that he is now with girlfriend.
How did I miss this podcast? I heard that.
Oh, it was slipped in subtly.
I know.
And I tried to slip it in. I didn't allow it.
How did we not have a full-blown discussion?
We had to listen to it back with her, actually, because Harmon mentioned it over the weekend. She's like, wait, what? What did you say about me? I'm like, nothing.
I might have had a few beverages by that point.
I'm so sad I wasn't here.
It was nice. So he revealed that, tried to like sneak it in there, and he hadn't even informed me that it was girlfriend status yet, but I got the full breakdown Saturday night.
Hey,
it's wonderful. Right, but Gelhar, obviously very happy, has found something that he really, truly connects with and appreciates, and so have I.
Oh, you have?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I got a new hairspray in my life, guys.
Oh, my God.
Which is basically an even more important relationship.
Oh, my God.
Hairspray.
Peter Coppola hairspray.
You have a picture of it.
I took
phone.
It in case I need to daily dap it.
You took a picture?
You are right now.
It's you have it, a picture
yeah.
of your hairspray.
Well, because I'm a little forgetful. And so I forget stuff. So I had to take a picture of it in case I forget what it's called. In case I go out to the store and I go to buy it again, I forget. But listen, I really struggle with finding a good, consistent hairspray because my hair is very fine and will eventually be gone because of that. But so this
so
is
so what
really
better way to treat that fine hair than loading it up with hairspray and hair?
Listen,
product.
You got
to
rock it while you got it.
Okay, good.
What's the point? Longevity is not that important. I'd rather just burn out real quick.
I like it, man.
Your hair looks good.
Thank you. The great part about this is, like, you know, it's firm, it holds, but you can still kind of adjust it upon first
Holy
push.
Cow. We're moving on.
Nobody that listens to this show likes.
And everybody's tuned.
Okay. All right. Let me daily dap a fella by the name of Rich Chiga.
Yes.
First of all, let me just say, this guy Rich Chiga, you got to look him up on YouTube, because the thing is, his music is just straight fire. They're bangers. He's a 16-year-old kid from Indonesia, and he puts out these two songs that are just straight club bangers. But if you haven't seen the video, I mean, he's a skinny 16-year-old kid from Indonesia. His songs are about shooting people. Believe it or not. but he wears a polo
and a fanny pack. Yes.
You got to watch that video. It's called Dat Stick, referring to his weapon. Also, he has a second video called Who That Be. If you watch that video, keep a close eye on the actual video. And I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but let me just tell you, this guy is a comedic genius.
I will co-sign on this because James – not co-sign.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Because James actually, you know, told me about this last week, and it honestly changed everything about my day.
Rich Chiga is a straight comedic genius. You know what? I have described him as this. He is – a 16-year-old Indonesian Zach Galifianakis.
Of rap.
Wow.
Of rap.
Of rap.
That's high praise.
He's a genius, man.
Wait, you're saying Galifianakis can't rap?
No, he cannot rap. He's a genius as well. He's a comedic genius as well, but this kid's 16 years old.
That's crazy.
I'm going to Twitter tattle on you to Galifianakis and tell him you said he can't rap.
All right, that's
no,
fine.
I'm just kidding.
I hope so. Put me on between two ferns, bro. I'm in. Rich Chiga. For those folks out there. Also, Daily Dap, AAJA. I went to that conference. I was a moderator at one of their panels. I had a good time.
Nice.
AAJA. All right. That's going to do it for our show. But let me tell you this. Subscribe to the podcast. Rate it. Review it for your chance to enter one of the fan leagues. We'll see you.